Many years ago, when I was at school, the teachers were obsessed with who came top of the class. And so at the end of every half term, at the end of every term, they would work out all the marks for all the different subjects, add them together, turn them round and so on, and they'd come out with a list of who was top of the class. And this list would be read out in front of everybody. So you'd have number one at the top, of course, number two and so on, right the way down to Christopher Boddington, who always came last. But then he was born on April Fool's Day, so what chance did he have? Now, you might think that in the intervening 35 years since I left school, I hear you gasp there, but yes, despite my good looks, it is 35 years. You might think that things have changed. We, as a society, we might have moved on a bit and lost this obsession with who comes first. Well, true, top of the pops has gone, sadly. But in its place, we have a whole horde of celebrity TV and reality TV shows that are all obsessed with coming first or coming in the top 10, getting through to the next round. So, not only do schools have sacks and league tables, not only do we have the old-fashioned competitions like the Football League, but we now have the X Factor. Well, every night it's the X Factor, or Britain's Got Talent, or Strictly Come Dancing, or Strictly Come Dancing on Ice, something like that. They all seem to merge into one another, really. We were even going to have a Broomfield's Got Talent competition in Broomfield, but sadly it had to be cancelled due to lack of interest, I think. Now, maybe I'm just a grumpy old man. Well, I am a grumpy old man, I know that. But all these shows seem the same to me. And the contestants, they take it all so seriously. There they are, standing in front of Simon Cowell, the great Simon Cowell, blubbering and crying and booing. And then they do it all over again for the telephone vote. They weep and cry and blubber in front of the great British public, begging them to vote for them because it means so much to me. Well, I try and help. I always shout back, come on, dear, cheer up, it's only a competition, but it doesn't seem to make any difference. To be fair, I suppose it does make a lot of difference between coming first and last. If you come first, then you get all that publicity and fame, you probably get a recording contract. But coming last means that the most you'll get is a run of adverts for Pizza Hut. Actually, you can help me in a dispute I had with my wife last night. Am I right in thinking that one of the early competitions, can't remember which one it was, there was a girl who came, did really, really badly, to singing YMCA, and she was actually recruited by Pizza Hut to do a series of adverts. Anyone else remember that at all? No. Ah, well, that's probably because I drifted off at that point. I had this sort of wonderful dream about the person coming last. Oh, well, all right, you win that one, dear. For a change. Anyway, this morning we're going to be looking at God's top tens. Now, in the older days, the Israelites, the Bible was an awful lot smaller than it is now. In fact, it was just the first five books to begin with, and most of the first five books consisted of rules, or an awful lot of rules anyway. There were rules about all sorts of things. Rules about how you should behave. Rules about what you could eat. Rules about what you couldn't eat. For instance, you could eat cattle, sheep, goats, deer or antelopes, but not camels, rabbits, rock badgers, buzzards, vultures, storks, seagulls or bats. Which is probably a good thing. I've never really fancied a bat. I don't think there'd be much meat on one. But because there were so many rules, God made it easier for the Israelites by picking out the top ten that really were the most important. And we saw that, didn't we, in the short extract. We saw the great Israelite leader Moses going up Mount Sinai, and when he got there, he met God, and God gave him the rules, the Ten Commandments, on those two tablets of stone, which he then took down to the Israelites to tell them. Now, in the olden days, even before I was at school, that long ago, everybody, even in this country, knew about the Ten Commandments. They'd probably be able to tell you what they were off by heart. And they'd certainly know what they were if they had time to think, and they tried to put them into practice. In fact, if you go into an old church, you might see a kind of plaque on the wall, like this one here, that's from a church in Cambridgeshire, and it had the Ten Commandments written on it. And that was because if the vicar was really boring and was dribbling on and on and on, and your mind started to wander, then you could pass the time by having a quick recap on the Ten Commandments to see which ones you could remember. Now, of course, we don't have anything like that on the walls of this church, but that's just because the sermons are never boring. So maybe it's a bit surprising nowadays that most people in Britain apparently can't even say what the Ten Commandments are. Now, my learned friend Amanda Wilson carried out some research with year 12s, that's sixth formers for foreign people, in a local secondary school, which I won't name, and found that most of them couldn't even say what any of the Ten Commandments were. Shock horror. So, here is your chance to prove that you are brighter than the average year 12 in Boswells. Oh, sorry, in a local secondary school. And fortunately, I've still got 10 sweets left. So, who would like to fire away with a 10 commandment? Just give me one. One will do each. Share them out. Cameron.
Do not commit adultery.
Do not commit adultery. Right. Yes, that's one. Oh, they'll give you a sweet then. Martin.
Don't steal.
Don't steal. Yes, that's two. And young lady here. Obey your parents, yes. Very important, that one. Yes, yes, yes. And another one.
Don't murder.
Don't murder, excellent. And another one.
Don't lie.
Yes, don't accuse people falsely. Right. And Jeff.
Love your mummies and daddies.
Love your mummies and daddies, yes. We've had that one, but I'll give it to you again. Now I might run out of sweets if I start doing this. Okay, how many have we had, by the way? Can someone tell me? Can we go over here very quickly, yes? Any more?
Don't want what other people have.
Very good. Don't want what other people have. Don't covet, it's sometimes called. Yes?
Don't say God's name in vain.
Yes, don't say God's name in vain. Typical sisters, eh? I used to have one, don't worry. You can have a sweet as well. Okay, I think there are two more, which are actually the first two. Yes, divine.
Don't worship any other god than him.
Yes, don't worship any other god than him. And Helen. Remember to keep the Sabbath day, yes, yes, definitely. Sweet for you, yes, yes. And right, I think there is just one more then. And that's actually the first one. What is the missing commandment?
No graven images.
No graven images, yes, yes. That is. Have we not had that one as well, though, in different words? But I think you've had a bit of help from the coroner there. I thought perhaps she might have said murder, but... yeah, there's one more, I think, unless I've forgotten. It's the first one, that's the clue. Yes, yes, which one is it? Yes, yes, that's the one. It's words to those effect. It is the first commandment, which is that you should worship God. And elsewhere, sort of nearby the Ten Commandments, it says those words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. Can we have them up on the screen now? I mean, I think that is all of them. There we go, you see, if I start to bore you, you can look at them. Right. So, where did I get to? Yes. The Ten Commandments. They're very important because they show us how we should live. God made us. And so he, if you like, they're the maker's instructions. He says, if you live like this, then you'll live a good life. And they also tell us what a bit about God too, because God obviously loves people and he doesn't want them to be hurt, to be murdered or to be lied about and so on. So, what we're going to be doing over the next few family services, not today, don't worry, is we're going to be looking at some of the slightly more difficult Ten Commandments and saying, what do they mean for us today? Because obviously an awful lot's changed since the days of Moses. What does it mean to honour my father and mother nowadays? What does that actually mean? And what does it mean not to envy my neighbour's slaves and his cattle and his donkeys, as it says in the Old Testament? When, to the best of my knowledge, neither of my neighbours has any slaves or cattle or donkeys. Although one of them used to have a dog. But that's for other Sundays. Today, we're going to be thinking about what Jesus said about the commandments. First, though, I must introduce you to a teacher of the law. Here is one I made earlier. A teacher of the law at the time of Jesus. But, you may say, this teacher doesn't look a bit like the happy, welcoming, child-loving, professional teacher who will welcome me into school tomorrow. And he's not wearing an old jacket with leather patches either. Well, that's because this teacher of the law's job wasn't meant to make you happy or feel welcomed or make you feel good about studying. You have it too easy today. This teacher of the law was to make you worried, because his job was to make sure that you knew every detail of God's law and that you didn't accidentally break one of the Ten Commandments without realising. Here's another picture of some teachers of the law. They've got their scrolls open there, looking at all the detail, and they're telling all the people lined up there how they need to worry and make sure that they obeyed every single one of the commandments. And they really got into it in a big way. For instance, Jesus' special friends, the disciples, they got into trouble one day for walking through a field and picking at the wheat that was growing there and then eating it. They didn't get into trouble with the farmer, which would have been fair enough, but they got into trouble with the teachers of the law because it was the Sabbath, the special day, and the teacher of the law said, ah, you picking wheat is harvesting, and harvesting is work. And you shouldn't work on the Sabbath, so that's wrong. There were some teachers of the law who said that you shouldn't spit on the ground on the Sabbath day, not because it's rude or disgusting or anything like that, but because it might disturb the dust, and disturbing the dust was like ploughing, and ploughing was work, so that was wrong. Some even said that you shouldn't eat an egg that had been laid on the Sabbath day, because laying an egg is work, and working on the Sabbath is wrong. Although other ones were a bit more generous and said that since most hens don't know an awful lot about the Ten Commandments, it was actually okay. Now, as well as being obsessed with the details, the teachers of the law were just like you and me. They were very interested to know of all the commandments, which was number one. Which was the top one? They knew about the top 10, of course. Moses had told them that. But they spent a lot of time discussing which of the 10 commandments was the best and most important one. So it's no surprise that one day a teacher of the law stepped forward to Jesus to ask him his view about what was the number one commandment. And this is what he said.
Mark chapter 12, verse 28. A teacher of the law was there. He said that Jesus had given a good answer, so he came to him with a question. Which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus replied, the most important one is this. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second most important commandment is this. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. There is no other commandment more important than these two. The teacher of the law said to Jesus, well done, teacher, it is true. It is more important to obey these two commandments than to offer animals and other sacrifices to God. This is the word of the Lord.
So, said Jesus, you could boil down all these laws and commandments to just two. The first one, I think you need an extra sweet for this, because that was the one that you got. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second most important one was love your neighbour as much as you love yourself. Simples, as the meerkats would say. So, how could Jesus make it so simple when the teachers of the law thought it was also very complicated? Well, there are two reasons, really. The first one is that these two commandments sum up all the other ones. For instance, if you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, then you won't want to use his name in a casual way as a swear word. And if you love your neighbour, then you won't want to hurt her by being jealous of what she has or stealing from her or murdering her. But secondly, the reason why that it can all be summed up in so simply is that Jesus knew God isn't interested in us being a load of robots who just obey the rules because we don't have any choice, because we're programmed to, or because we're just too scared of what might happen if we don't. He doesn't want us to be people who just obey rules. What he really wants is to be our number one. Yeah, amazingly, the God who made the earth, the stars and the galaxies actually wants us to love him just as he loves us. Not just obey all the rules, but actually love him. And when you think about it, that's the right way around. God wants us to live according to his commandments because we love him, and as a way of showing our love, not just because it's our duty. But you may say, why should we love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength? And the answer to that question is even more amazing. It's that God loves us. He loves you and me with all his heart and all his soul and with all his mind and with all his strength. You are God's number one. He wants to love you even more passionately than the X Factor finalist wants to win X Factor. That much. So much that he was willing for his son Jesus to come to earth as a man, experience our messy, nasty world, and die for us. And so finally, the other incredible thing is that not only are you God's number one, but so am I. And the person sitting next to you, the person sitting in front of you and behind you and the other side of you, they are also God's number one. In the X Factor, in Britain's Got Talent, in Big Brother and all the others, there can only be number one. Everyone else, from number two downwards, eventually has to go home in tears after being hugged by Anton Deck, of course. And if someone comes top of the class and nine other people are in the top 10, then everyone else has to come lower down. There always has to be a Christopher Boddington who comes last. But in God's talent spotting competition, you don't have to have talent. You don't even have to own a dog with talent. And yet, you can still be number one. Not because you're clever or because you've kept all the rules and commandments, but because you have a judge who's not a bit like Simon Cowell. A judge who loves you so much that he was willing to die for you and for me and for everyone else in the world. God is that passionate to make sure that we get through to the next round in heaven. Never before or since has a judge shown such mercy and grace. Not even Louis Walsh. So this is really too good for reality TV. But amazingly, it is reality. Here is a God who promises to forgive us and to be with us for the rest of our lives and beyond. And all we have to do is to turn to him and ask him to save us and to come into our lives. Here is a God that is really worth making number one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for making every one of us your number one. Thank you for loving us with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. Thank you for loving us just as we are, even though so easily we go against you and break your good commandments. Lord, more than anything, you want us to love you back as best we can, and to love our neighbours, and to love ourselves. Help us to do just that in the week ahead, Lord, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and to show that love by obeying your commandments. Amen.